Alright, here's a question.
How does this stimulated emission really work? And why does a photon cause an electron ball random state?
It's statistical physics. So if you look at bosons, bosons at a certain concentration prefer to be in a state where there are other bosons. And so if you have a high concentration of bosons, they tend to like to condense all into the same quantum state. It happens in superconductivity. So in superconductivity, you've got at high temperatures electrons in a metal, and you cool it down. And what happens is that the electrons first pair into two electrons, so they're bosons, and then these Cooper pairs, they're called. They all condense into the same quantum state, and you get the superconductivity. And there's a similar thing here that happens with light, that if you have bosons, they lower their energy by, or they lower their free energy, I should say, by all entering the same quantum state. I will do this calculation starting from the microscopic states for non-interacting bosons in the advanced course. And there's a certain point where we will see the Bose-Einstein condensation, when you have a collection of many bosons. And it has to do with the temperature and the density. At high densities and low temperatures, bosons tend to condense all into one state. I think I can't do better than that right now. Okay, so and now I'd like to talk about some thermoelectric effects that you see in semiconductors or also in metals. And the first thing I'll talk about is the Seebeck effect. And in this experiment, what you have is an isolated piece of metal or semiconductor, and you heat one end and you cool the other end, or you establish somehow a temperature gradient. And on the hot side, the mobile carriers have lots of kinetic energy, and on the cold side, they have less kinetic energy. And then if you look at an intermediate position, you see carriers from the hot side coming by with a high velocity, and then from the other side, carriers with a lower velocity going the other way. So you end up with a current flowing from the hot side to the cold side. And then this current gets opposed by an electric field. And the electric field is pushing them back, is pushing the carriers back to the hot side where they're diffusing away from. And that way you get some kind of balance. So if you take a semiconductor or a metal and you heat one side and you cool the other side, and then you measure with a voltmeter across it, you can measure a voltage. And this voltage is related to this Seebeck effect. And the equation that's used for it is that the electric field is the thermal power times the gradient of the temperature. And you can use this to figure out which kind of charge carriers you have in a material. Because if the right side is hot and the charge carriers are electrons, then the electrons will be moving to the left. And to push them back to the hot side, you need an electric field that points to the left. The negatively charged electrons will be pushed to the right when the electric field points to the left. But if you have positively charged holes and the right side is hot, then they're moving away, and to push them back, you need an electric field to the right. So the sign of the electric field that you get in a Seebeck experiment tells you which way around the which kind of charge carriers you have in the material. You can also use this to make a thermometer. This is a thermometer called a thermocouple. And what you do is you take two conductors, two different materials, and you put the joint between them at some temperature you'd like to measure. And then over here where you've got a reference temperature, sometimes it's just the room temperature of your voltmeter, you measure the voltage difference between these two. And there's thermal power in both of these,
And if there are two different materials with two different thermal powers, the voltage tells you what the temperature is here. It actually tells you what the difference in temperature is. And if you want a more precise measurement than doing it like this, because here you measure with respect to just room temperature where you're measuring the voltage, you can use two of them. You use two thermocouples, and you put one at a temperature that you know. For instance, you can put it in ice water. Water with some ice floating in it will be at zero centigrade. And that gives you a reference. And then using that reference, it's possible with thermocouples to make a temperature measurement. They're not maybe the best thermometers, but they're pretty robust. So often you buy thermocouple wires that it's two different metals, and it's fairly easy to incorporate them in a system that goes to high temperatures. They don't. They're wires. You can bend them around and put the thermometer where you like, and the metals don't melt easily. You can measure a wide range of temperatures with a thermocouple.